Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Now, I don't know if this is the creative genius of the powers that be here at ESPN or what's going on, but they have strategically placed me right in front of the pool. It's 83 degrees, the sun is shining, and all I see is a pool, and all I now want to do is go in said pool, and I can't do that. So it's you and me for the next 3 hours here on 98.7. All I wanted to do, honestly, I'm not even exaggerating, all I wanted to do was to turn on the radio today, was to press this button on, and talk about the NBA and free agency. That's all I wanted to do. And I can't even do it. Why can't I do something like that? Because of your fancy New York Mets. That's why. That's exactly why I can't do it. Ty, my man.
Hello
there.
Did
you happen to see the Mets last night?
Oh, I saw it. Not just once, but two times over.
Two times, Ty. And I'm here, I'm poolside, I'm going to scream, people are out there lounging, there's suntan lotion, there's bikinis, there's waterfalls. All I want to do, Ty, is just be quiet and have a nice day here at Crystal Springs, and I can't do it. Why? Because the Mets are an unmitigated disaster. That's why. I just wanted to come out and tell you that I'm a little nervous about NBA free agency. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. I don't feel great about it. I mean, Kevin Durant injury, Klay Thompson injury. Sounds like Kyrie to the Nets is an absolute done deal. All I wanted to do was just talk about NBA free agency. The finals, the Knicks, the concerns. Go through the motions today with you at 800-919-3776. That's it. I wasn't looking to talk Mets. Just win the game yesterday. Lose the second game. Be a game below 500. Syndergaard on the mound. Away we go. Fine. And they can't do that. No, they can't do that. No, because the Mets are, here's what the Mets are. The Mets are the punchline of every frickin' joke. That's exactly what the Mets are. And you saw it again last night. That's the definition of what the Mets are. I mean, Jeris Familia has an ERA of 7. 7. Do you understand how difficult it is for a competent reliever in baseball to have an ERA of 7? That means for basically every inning he pitches, he's almost allowing one earned run. That's how bad he is. And now what's happening is the people at the pool are looking at me like I'm crazy. And they might be right, because the Mets drive everyone nothing shy of insane. This is a joke of a baseball team. This is a laughing stock organization. You say, isn't this too much? No, it's not too much. Look at what's happening right now. This is comical. I mean, you bring in Diaz the other day, and mind you, Diaz, who was the crown jewel of this trade, he was the piece de resistance, 50-something saves, and I mean, 24 years old, and you have him for the next God knows how many years and a nominal amount of money. He's terrible. And I didn't want to believe it. And people called the show. And people have been calling the station for months saying, he's not that good, Dave. And I said, he's fine. You don't have to worry about Diaz. Diaz is fine. He's got filthy stuff, which I still believe he has. I do. I still believe that Diaz has nasty stuff. But let's be fair. This guy has blown game after game after game. And you know what? Diaz is the competent piece of this bullpen. Because you're bringing guys in that shouldn't be pitching in Major League Baseball right now. I know I told you this, I'm going to repeat it. Familia's ERA is almost 7. Do you have any comprehension of how difficult it is to have an ERA of 7? Hector Santiago has an ERA of nearly 7. And guess where he's pitching? Nowhere. Because after the game last night, they just said, enough is enough. We can't deal with this. We've got to move on. And that's what they do. Because that's what a normal baseball club would do. But not the Mets. Not with a guy like Familia, who should not be on this team. You know what I would have respect for? I would honestly have respect if the Mets got to the point that they said, you know what? We made an egregious mistake. We made a horrible lapse of judgment. And we signed a guy that we shouldn't have signed for 3 years and $30 million. And you know what? We should have signed Adam Ottavino. And you know what? We should have gone after Andrew Miller. And you know what? We should have gone after Zach Britton. But we didn't, and we made a mistake. And to show you the magnitude of said mistake, we're going to DFA Jairus Familia. So you know that we're right there with you in this battle. That we feel as badly as you do about what's going on with this organization right now. But no, not the Mets. What did the Mets do? Mickey Callaway, in his post game last night, defended him. Said, listen, he's been okay. In spots, he's been pretty good this year. He's pitching to an ERA of 7. Of 7. Look at the moves that Brody Van Wagenen has made. Wilson Ramos can't transfer the ball from the glove to the bare hand when someone's stealing a base. He's incapable of that. Now, he's going to be a 3-time dad, and for that, we wish him congratulations. But it's comical, guys. It is comical. The Mets are the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. Not the Orioles. Not the Blue Jays. Not the Royals. You knew those teams were going to stink. Those teams didn't take the pulpit to start the year and tell you, we have fluid all the way to the top. No. That's what the Mets did. We think we can compete with every team in this division. You are the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. Because I didn't hear the Blue Jays come out and say, guys, we're going to compete this year. This is going to be a big season. Look out for us here. No. Did the Orioles do it? No. Did the Royals do it? No. Did the Angels do it? No. Did the Mets do it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did they go out and spend money on Ramos? Sure they did. And you know what the sad thing is? I think it's fair to say that Ramos is probably the best free agent acquisition you had this offseason. Robinson Cano has 3 home runs on the year and is injured yet again and is allergic to hustling. Jed Lowrie has made not one appearance, and it sounds like it's going to take forever if he's even going to play this entire season. Look at what this organization is. They went all in. They traded the prize jewel of their minor league system. For what? For what? You know what? Shame on me. And shame on you, Ty, and shame on everybody. And I'll tell you why. Because if you were remotely intelligent, and I thought about it, but I can't do it because I got kids and family. But Ty, you should have done this. You should have driven to Jersey last night and put every penny you have on the remainder of the Mets game from Thursday night into Friday, bottom of the ninth inning. Because there was no chance on God's green earth that the Mets were going to somehow find a way to win that game. None, zero, zilch, nada. Why? They are a joke. That's why. I mean, Diaz, he didn't blow the game once. He blew the game twice. 2 runs in the rain on Thursday night, 4-4, spend the next 24 hours stewing over it, and we all knew that they had absolutely no chance to win that game. And in typical Mets fashion, guess what happens? 1-2-3, bottom 9. Base hit, stolen base, ground him over to third, base hit, run scores, 5-4, double play, bottom 10, 1-2-3, you lose 5-4. And then you say, oh, and you're distraught, and you're despondent, and you're angry, and you're upset. You say, all right, at least we have the nightcap. Let's see what Mats can do. And you're trailing 4-3, and you have bases loaded, nobody out. 1 out, 2 outs. And you say to yourself, we're gonna lose this game because we can't get a clutch hit. But they do get a clutch hit. Ramos drives in 2, makes it 5-4, 6 outs away. Familia, take the ball and go close this thing down. Take the ball and go give me a 1-2-3 inning. Give me a clean inning, for God's sakes. And what does he do? 5 runs later. 9-5. Game over. Night over. Doubleheader loss over. And we are now on the verge, friends, of saying season virtually over. Welcome to the Brody Van Wagenen-led 2019 New York Metropolitans. I mean, Yankees stink too right now, but at least the Yankees are going to be fine. You have no concerns about the Yanks. they will be fine. They're 14 games over. They're half a game back. Judge is going to come back soon. Stanton's going to come back soon. They'll make a trade. They'll be fine. Not your Mets. The Mets are an absolute disaster right now. It's because the ownership says win now, and they bring in a guy that is becoming quickly the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. So I'm sorry that we have to do this on a gorgeous Saturday, but it's not my fault. It's the Mets. They're doing this to you. They're doing this to me. They're doing this to us. 800-919-3776. We will get heavy into the NBA, but you have to start here. Yeah, you have to, because the most dysfunctional is what you want to talk about. And the leader in the clubhouse, they've gotten to the clubhouse. They've changed out of their golf clothes. They're at dinner, and the car is picking them up, is how far and away the Mets are the leader in the clubhouse of New York dysfunction. And with what we have with the Jets, with the Giants, with the Knicks, to say the Mets are the leader in the clubhouse of that, now that, my friends, is quite a title.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Let's go to James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, before I get to my Kawhi point, I feel bad, man. I'm sorry for your Mets, man. But you're outside. Enjoy the day. Relax.
Yeah, but I can't, James. So you don't understand. Ty, you know this to be true, and this is not off the spur of the moment kind of thing. Ty, I'm going to let Ty tell you, James, what did my 12-year-old do in travel baseball, Little League last night?
Oh, it was an incredible night, one for the ages. It actually made the paper. He threw a no-hitter, and I believe it was a 13-1 victory.
I think it was 12-1. Oh. It could have been 13, but he threw a no-no.
A no-hitter.
My son throws a no-hitter. I come home. The Mets are winning 5-4, Ty. Familia basically vomits on the pitching mound. The whole no-hitter goes out the window, and all I can think of is what a disaster the Mets are at that moment. So you think that a little sun and breeze and ladies in bikinis is going to put me in a good mood, James? No.
I try, man. I want to give you positivity. I know you're on the Mets, but I do want to get to the NBA. And shout out to the Toronto Raptors for winning the championship. That was incredible. Kawhi
was a great series, too.
And, oh, absolutely. I'm glad for Kawhi. And you're the Knicks right now. And you know what's going on with KD, the Achilles. We don't know what he's doing. Klay Thompson likely is staying. His father said that he's staying. So let's put that to bed. Now, if your gut tells you, what's Kawhi, if you have to take a guess, because we don't know what's going on in Kawhi's head, he's a different kind of bird. Would you think he'd stay in Toronto?
I have no idea. James, no? I don't think anybody has any comprehension of Kawhi Leonard and what he's thinking. And I appreciate the phone call. I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in Toronto. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to the Clippers. The only reason I'd be surprised if he came to the Knicks is because they're the Knicks, right? And because we're kind of trained. We're like Pavlov's dog. That's what we are. We're, all right, free agency, something good could happen, but it won't because it doesn't. That's the way you feel about the Knicks. The reason that it won't is just because it never does. Not that there's not a chance that it does now, which would be great to change the narrative. But do I believe, can I sit here with you today on June 15th and tell you that I have any positivity about the Knicks and about free agency? No, and maybe that's just me, right? I mean, Han joined us yesterday and said, why not be positive? Why not think this can turn out? Maybe it will. But it's hard for me to, I mean, you got the best players in the NBA are out for next season now. If Kawhi doesn't come here, it's hard for me to envision. And I don't want to do a lot of NBA now. I'd really want to stick with the Mets and the disaster that they are at this current moment. But if Kawhi doesn't come here, it's very difficult for me to envision a way that the Knicks are a playoff-caliber team next year.
There's always Chris Middleton.
Stop it with your Chris Middleton. Really. Stop. I don't want Jimmy Butler. I don't want Chris Middleton. I don't want Julius Randle. I don't want Nikola Vucevic. No.
D'Angelo Russell?
Stop it. Listen, if I can get D'Angelo Russell at a reasonable number, fine. I'm not going max for D'Angelo Russell. I'm not going max, and I don't want to do the NBA now, Ty.
Just all fired up about everything. At least
you sit in your ivory tower with the Yankees, and they lose 5 of 7, and you think the sky is falling. I'll show you the sky is falling. Try rooting for the Mets.
Try rooting for the Jets, Dave.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Chris in Long Island. Chris, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
David.
Chris.
Okay, I'm devastated, okay? You mentioned the New York Jets. I am a New York Jets fan. I'm a New York Knicks fan. And worst of all, I'm a New York Mets fan. Okay? I'm 25 years old, David. I've been seeing this over and over again, and you have too. In the early 2000s, they give us Jeremy Burnett, Mo Vaughn, Roberto Alomar, and it's garbage. We continue on after a little bit of success in 2006, and we take it. But what do we get in 2008, 2007? We get the collapse. Moises Alou is one of our signings. And here we are again. David, how many times are we going to fall for these tricks of them giving us these awful players? Okay, Brody says, come and get us. The Phillies sign Bryce Harper. What does he do? Carlos Gomez on a minor league deal. David, it's like...
It's a joke. You're right. You know what, Chris? You're right. It's my fault. I apologize, Chris. It's my fault. It's every Mets fan's fault for believing
right.
for a second. And thanks for the call, Chris. I appreciate it. For thinking for a second that this would be different. This is what they are. This is the Mets. We'll nickel and dime you. We'll kind of spend money. We'll collect insurance money. We'll try to be a mediocre team. And every once in a while, you know what? The clock strikes 12. And you find that, hey, look, we're going to go to the postseason. Like 2015, when Daniel Murphy gets red hot and the team starts playing unbelievable at the exact right time. But their starting pitching is not bad now. And their offense is not bad now. But the bullpen, I mean, this is Brody Van Wagenen. He comes in here. He brings in the two guys that he brings in for this bullpen. They're atrocious right now. I mean, Familia should be pitching in the AAA somewhere. Really. I mean, he is not a major league caliber pitcher. His ERA is 7. And Diaz has blown so many games at this point. The back-to-back games where he allows the home run. The utter gagging collapse against the Dodgers. The game two nights ago that led into the second collapse of last night. And these are your two acquisitions to make this bullpen capable? I mean, the only guy that you look at right now and say, yeah, you know what, I kind of believe in him is Lugo. Could Diaz even pitch today? Not that you're desperate for that, but if you get 7 innings out of Syndergaard today, then what? Then where? Then what happens? I guess you go Lugo? You go Lugo for 6 outs? Because you can't throw Familia out there again. And Diaz has now pitched in 2 consecutive days. So I guess Gesellman and Lugo. And that's the recipe.
I thought you were saving Diaz's arm for the postseason. You didn't want to throw him 6 outs.
Honestly, really. I mean, I had to drive 2 hours to get here. The guy in front of me is breaking for squirrels in front of him. And I have to deal with you and your Yankees' obnoxious tone? No. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen, Ty. We are not going to allow that. It's me and the Mets fan. That's what this is about.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So, again, it's just sheer, I guess the appropriate word is just, it's disappointment. It's heartbreak. It's the same song and dance. And instead of falling for it again, next year I can't. Because I fell for it last year and I was disappointed. They got it through an 11-2 start, 11-1 I think actually, and then it fell apart. By the end of May. And this year, every time they take a step forward, every single time, you're a game under 500, you're one out away, you're going to be at the 500 mark, you blow it, a rain delay, a postponement, the next day, I mean, it's the same song and dance. And I am sick of it. And you are sick of it. And we'll be sick of it together. Emmanuel in Brooklyn. Emmanuel, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. First time, long time, man.
Appreciate it, man.
I'm a true Mets fan, so I feel your pain. And I can
do you disagree
you that,
with me, or do you think I'm completely on target today?
Dude, you cannot be more right. But instead of DFAing Familia, there's only one thing this team needs to do that will make me feel better right now.
What, and what is that? Let me see if I can think of it. You want to get rid of Brody?
Yes. That's
yeah.
it. As soon as they hired Brody over Chaim Bloom, the season was over. He went out and he made awful moves. Awful moves. And, you know, the Mets weren't even cheap. You know why? Because we're paying $21 million to Robinson Cano over the next 5 years. instead of paying Bryce Harper 26 over the next 13 for a 26-year-old instead of a 36-year-old.
But it's not. I don't think it's a pure 21. Seattle's picking up some of that money. The Mets.
It's 24. So that's the thing. They're actually paying him $21 million a year because we didn't get that much money back from Seattle because the Mets are the worst at that. Any other team, if they would have picked up Cano's contract, it would have been straight. Okay, they're dumping their contract. We're picking up the money. We don't have to send any prospects back. We have to get rid of our prospects. We have to take up most of the money. First thing we were hearing about that deal, the Mets are going to get $60 million back in that deal. Nope.
Right. And if you remember, Jeff McNeil was going to be involved in that trade, and the fan base reacted so crazily that they fought, because that's what they do. They react to how the fan base reacts. They were like, oh, you know what? We can't include Jeff McNeil. We'll include Kalenic, and look at him. They moved him from like low A. Now he's in double A. He's hitting the cover off the ball. This is what it is.
Dave,
I mean, a salary dump, and you traded the prize prospect in your minor league system.
I think you're the most cerebral guy on the station, so I want to say this to you. Think about how much money was spent this offseason. And think of it how the allocation of the money spent was spent awfully. Just think about it. Think about how
terribly
much money was spent. And we could have got players for not even a lot of money. Melky Cabrera would have been a much better signing. Adam Jones would have been a much better signing. There's so many players that weren't even expensive that were out there that I kept calling for. And they went and got who? Carlos Gonzalez.
You mean like DJ LeMahieu, who I pined for? Someone like that, or like an Adam Ottavino, who hasn't even been that great, but the guy that I asked for, or Zach Britton,
exactly,
or Andrew Miller. I know. Because they spent, thanks to call, Emmanuel, and call back again, they spent some money, but they do it in such a Filene's basement way. You get two guys and you get the third for free. Or on Saturdays you get 40% off if you come in after the sun goes down. Like it's always something with this team. It's always, always, always something, and I am sick and tired of it. Spike in Jersey, my best friend. Spike, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning. First of all, to my friend Dave Rothenberger, happy, healthy Father's Day. You deserve the best. You have a wonderful family, and can't tell you how
thank you
fond I am of you. Terrific, terrific. And you know your stuff
that
inside out, and I got the $25 for this. Okay. Look, I was in business for 35 years, and I learned one thing about business, and very important to understand this. I don't care what business you're in. When you have some bad product or bad service, you cut your losses. I don't care what they paid this guy. Goodbye. I'll walk him wherever he wants to go and feed him and get him bottles of water. Goodbye. Take the loss, because one thing I watched when I tune in to watch him, every time he comes in, I know it's bad. It's amazing.
He's terrible. Yeah. I mean, he is an absolute walking disaster.
I think he's psyched out. Yeah, go ahead.
And again, you know, I don't think he's a bad guy, Spike. I'm not saying anything personal about the guy, but as far as bringing him in, I mean, here's what he has to be. At this moment, moving forward, until proven otherwise, he has to be a guy that either comes in when you're up 8-1 or down 8-1.
Yeah,
and that's it. Because if he comes in anything close to a high-leverage situation, he's god-awful, Spike.
There's a name for those guys. They come in at garbage time. And that's what he's relegated to. The scouting's bad. Cano looks... It's odd that Cano had a PED problem. Familia had a PED problem. I think they both lost time, obviously. This closer, who I thought at the beginning of the year looked really good, he's a slightly built guy, he's blown more saves, I think, this year than he has all last year. So this scout that, or this agent guy, this CAA guy, I think it was CAA,
yes,
that
CAA
they hired, he got all his guys good deals. His job is done. He's a slick guy, but at least the Mets have one good thing for them. And as a Mets fan, I know you'd appreciate
that. What, Alonso?
No. But yeah, Alonso, for sure. But they have some offense this year.
Yeah, but what good does it do?
You got to win.
It's like that's the opposite of last year. Your pitching is unbelievable, and you lose in every game 3-2. And this year, your starting pitching is fine, and your bullpen is so bad, so you lose in every game 8-5. Oh, what's the difference, Spike?
The difference is if you tweak it and you get some middle inning guys that can hold the lead, Yeah, it's torture. You're right. You know, for years you always complain. They should play this kid McNeil every day. He's got to get his at-bats. They got a catcher who's okay behind the plate at best, but he's the best kidding catcher the Mets have had in how long?
For a long time. By the way, I don't know if you've seen what Travis Darnot, and again, I did not like Travis Darnot. It was time to move on, but he's doing great down in Tampa.
Yeah, but Dave, you know better than anybody. You change the scenery for a guy. How long does it last?
Come on. I understand, but you know what, Spike? I'm just so frustrated. So frustrated because it's the same thing every single year.
Well,
and
enjoy the beautiful,
I can't take it anymore.
Well, enjoy the beautiful surroundings and have a bite to eat. And again, my best to you and your wonderful family. You make listening to the radio a pleasure.
Spike, before I let you go,
yeah,
did you hear earlier? I was bragging about what Ben did yesterday.
I heard something. No, I didn't hear. I heard that it was someone pitched a no hitter.
That's right. That would be my 12-year-old son.
Ben pitched a no-hitter?
A no-hitter.
Oh, but this is.
It was unbelievable.
Then you got to get yourself in a good mood, brother. You got to get yourself in a good mood.
But that's
mood.
What the Mets do. The Mets are so frustrating to me that my son's pitching a no-hitter,
wow.
And I'm still upset.
One last question. Thanks for your time. How did it get close at any pitch? Was there any great plays, or was it just mowing down?
There was the third baseman made just an unbelievable play. He fielded it going towards third. He kind of jumped and threw it across the diamond. It was a great play.
Was it
now,
close at first?
In fairness to me, what happened?
Was it close at first?
Not all that close. No, it was a sensational play.
How many did he walk?
He walked three.
Okay. Hey. And what he's how old is Ben now? 11?
12.
12.
12.
Wow. Wow. And where is he? And what level? Is it not rec league? You live up
in No, it's a travel league, yeah.
Travel league no hitter?
Okay. Travel league no hitter.
Right.
Now, Spike, in fairness, we destroyed them, so it only went four innings.
It wasn't
the full six-inning regulation, but still. I mean, Jarris Familia can't get two batters in a row out. My kid, you know, doesn't allow a hit over four innings. That's pretty good.
I have two words for you besides thank you. What asterisk?
There you go.
There you go. Have a great one, Dave.
There you go. That's right. And now I'm getting texts all over the place. A no-hitter, yeah. A no-hitter.
See, but this is a bad job on your part.
How I'm bragging, I'm excited, he was sensational, I'm giving love to the third baseman. How is this a bad job on my part?
It's not enough, man. You should have been on Twitter with this, showing us videos.
No, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, let the kid have a little space. I don't want him
have space, but his team is losing in the NCAA tournament, and you didn't have this same mindset. You didn't have this same motto, let him have space.
Well, that was Alex. This is Ben. It's different. Each
Your
kid,
child.
See, what you don't understand, Ty, is you have to be able to press the right buttons with each child. You know what motivates them. You know what frustrates them. You know the little nuances of each child, and I know that I mean, listen, it's our own little league. It doesn't need to be made massively public about the league and the area and all that stuff. So I just wanted to let everyone know that he threw a no-no.
All of that to say you'd rather publicly shame your kid on Twitter than to publicly praise them and show a level of appreciation and, you know, adulation for a tremendous accomplishment.
Do you dislike me? Is that what this? You just dislike me?
No, I love you, Dave. But
so then why?
It's terrible on your part. The way you go about things.
I'm excited. I'm quelling. That's a Yiddish word, by the way, of when you're very excited over the top. I'm quelling. There's nachis going on here. I couldn't have been prouder of what he did last night. And on Father's Day weekend, Ty, I think you'll appreciate this. I think you will.
Okay, we'll see.
Father's Day weekend.
I'll be the judge.
Father's sons. But listen to this. So last night he turns to me. Oh, so I'm going to weep. I mean, it's a beautiful moment, Ty. He says, Dad, we're driving home in the car, right? Listening to the Mets game, not realizing that they're about to collapse, but we should have probably. And he says, Dad, are you proud of me? And I turn to him, maybe well up a little bit. I said, Ben, I'm always proud of you. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, because you pitched no-hitter, no prouder than any other day. And we drive home, and that's it.
That's a nice moment.
I mean, how well done is that?
That's a great job. But I will say this. He's asking if you're proud of him. Is it because you don't tell him enough?
No, he's... You know, see, this is what you do. No, he's asking because he wants the confirmation.
No,
the confirmation is, I'm always proud of you.
I've just got to analyze all angles, man. I got to analyze all angles.
See, you always go from the negative. Why not be positive? Why not appreciate the fact that the kid throws Friday night, under the lights, a no-no?
It's a great job on his part.
It's a great job. All right, 800-919-3776. So, like the Mount Rushmore, you got Ben, and then the Mets would be on the other mountain. The Mets would be on, like, the landfill. Ben on the Mount Rushmore, the Mets, the Arthur Kill landscape in Staten Island. 800-919-3776. We continue with the Mets. We continue with my son's no-no. We'll get into the NBA. I get a tweet from Bob Pavlik. He says, please no NBA talk today. I'm a Yankees fan. I want all Mets talk from you. It's fantastic when you lose your mind on one of your teams. So entertaining. Bob, I'm glad I can entertain. Thank you, Jerris Familia. Thank you, Edwin Diaz. Thank you, Brody Van Wagner. Beautiful day. Sunny, warm, nice little breeze. Have some food, have some beer, walk around. You can walk the course a little bit, come to the pool. Just wonderful. 800-919-3776, Hamburg, New Jersey. All right, I mean, this is where we are. You know, I feel so sickened by what I've seen from the Mets. I mean, that trip, I think I lose sleep over this team, right? They're out in L.A. I'm watching games. They're blowing them. I'm watching games. They lose 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers. They should have, at a minimum, gone 2-2. Last night, I mean, Diaz has blown more games. It's June 15th. He has blown more games on June 15th than he did the entirety of last season. How about that? I mean, chew on that for a second. And Familia, I know there's not a million options, but there's got to be something better. There has to be something better than Familia in a one-run game in the eighth. Give me anybody. Give me Gesellman. Give me Hector Santiago. Give me anybody. Well, it can't be Hector Santiago anymore because now they've completely moved on from him. But give me anybody. But honestly, and I said this before, and this is my mentality, I will watch them. I will root for them. I am done. I am not going to turn on the radio in the future and go crazy. You're not going to, oh, here goes Rothenberg, another one of these Mets men. That is done. That was knocked out of me last night when Familia allowed the 3-run homer to Dexter Fowler. And it probably came a couple weeks too late because you knew this was going to happen. Why? They're not put together well. And we talk about it all the time. This is a bad team. This is a joke of a bullpen. And Brody Van Wagner has done a bad, bad job. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dennis in the car. Dennis, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, how are you today?
Well, I mean, Dennis, how do I sound? You tell me.
Exactly. I hear you. No, but you're outside. It's a beautiful day. You had a really good day.
I mean, I had a good day yesterday. My son threw a no-hitter. They won the game 12-1, but I go home, and then the Mets do what they do, and it's very difficult to be in a great mood. So I'm right down the middle, Dennis.
Dave, I totally hear you. Now, originally I was calling, when I spoke to Kai originally, all I was going to talk about is the Wilpons and what a clown show they did with the franchise. But as I was thinking about it, the thing that's more important on this lovely Saturday is on all these ESPN bumpers talking about Humpty and Canty. Where's the anchor in that? Where's the anchor man?
That's a great point,
Dennis.
Morning
show? Where's your name, Dave?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the powers that be at ESPN deem that Humpty and Canty are the ones they want on the forefront. I'm more the glue. I'm more of the Mark Grudzielanek of the show. Without the second baseman who's going to stand in there and take the abuse on the double play, nothing happens, but they look at those guys as the long ball hitters.
It should be the Dave Show with Humpty and Canty. I'm telling you, it's disgraceful. Who do I have to talk to? Who's the PD? Who gets the email?
There's people. I'll put you in touch with the right people, Dennis.
Good stuff.
I appreciate it.
Dave, thanks.
All right, thanks, Dennis. You hear this, Ty? I mean, I don't think you realize the mini sensation you get to work with.
Well, you say this every Saturday, so if I didn't realize it today, I would have realized it previous Saturdays. Or if I didn't realize it the previous Saturday.
Maybe you have not come to the point where you recognize the talent that is within here, Dave Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Best talent on the station, they say.
You don't believe that.
I believe so.
You do?
Pound for pound.
Pound for pound.
And I mean that as much as... Yeah, I do mean it. Pound for pound.
Why did you have to make that into?
Because
like
I was going to make a
because this is what you do.
I was going to make a weight joke, but then I thought better of it.
A weight joke of me being down to 218 pounds.
Down to 218 pounds.
I was 235.
Okay. Well, the 235 was a problem in itself.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if we should be celebrating that you're down to 218.
So if you lose 17 pounds, you shouldn't celebrate that?
I'm not, celebrate
when you get to the finish line?
I'm not celebrating the
loss.
So if
I'm running a marathon and I get to mile 13.1, I shouldn't be like, you know what? Here I go. Look at me. Hear me roar. No, just keep your head down. And when you get to 200,
yeah, I think you should be condemning the fact that you were ever 235 to begin with.
I think
with.
You're right. I think it's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. But there's a journey that we're underway with, and we're halfway there.
Yeah, but you still got a long way to go.
Ty, I feel like you and I are. I need a guy. That's what I need. I need someone at the station to be my guy. I've had that in the past. I thought it could be you. I don't think it can be anyone.
I'm still your guy, but I do want to say something, because yesterday I was listening to the show, and you had nothing but praise for Brian Munguia, who was running the board.
Brian's lovely. You know what? Brian doesn't challenge me. Brian is lovely. Brian is competent. I'm a big fan of Brian.
I was going to say, hey, so you doled out all this praise. I've worked that show before, and that's never been aimed in my direction.
Let's go to Brian in Long Island. Brian, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, Dave? Big fan of yours, man.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Listen, now, I understand why you could be a little upset with the Mets. I mean, very upset, so am I. But we could be a little bit more optimistic. They were around the same position when they went to the
World. No, don't let it happen. Nope, don't do it. Don't. You know what, Brian? You are. If you can't spot the sucker at the table, you're the sucker. Brian, don't be the sucker. Don't fall for it again, my friend.
Listen, when they made that World Series run, they were in the same position before the All-Star break, and then went on like on a 14-game winning streak after the All-Star break. Ended up making it to the World Series. Like, we could be a little bit optimistic that our division is still a toss-up, although the Braves are doing phenomenal.
Yeah, right, it's a toss-up. Who's more talented right now, the Mets or the Braves?
You really
have to think long and hard about this? Who's more talented right now, the Mets or the Braves?
No. Well, it's difficult to say. Obviously, you know, I don't want to say the Braves are, but...
The Braves are 41-29. They have their own version of Pete Alonso and Austin Riley. They just brought in Dallas Keuchel. You really think it's all that close?
No, I'm saying it's tough to say because I'm a Met fan. Like, I don't want to admit it.
So say it. No, say it. Say it, Brian. Say it. Who's better, the Mets or the Braves?
The Braves.
All right. You know how far the Mets are behind the Braves right now?
They're 7.5 games.
Seven and a half. You're that convinced? You know what? You're like a Charles Manson follower. You believe anything you hear? No, it's not going to happen, Brian. It's over. Good night.
No. It can still happen. I'm telling you, we can still make it to the wild card.
God bless. You know what? Here's the thing. You go, take your head, and thank you for the phone call. You seem like a wonderful guy. Take your head and run it right.
We've seen crazier things happen, I will say.
Of course.
We've seen Dave go from 235 to 218.
You're a bad guy. 218, it was a challenge to get down to 218.
We've also seen the Mets blow a 7.5 game division lead in back-to-back years.
Should we talk about Lucas Giolito? Should we talk about the Yankees and how they've been playing lately?
As long as you mention that they're 14 games over 500.
They are 14 games. But I think we've come to the realization that home field in the American League is probably not going to happen for your fancy New York Yankees.
I don't think we're at that point.
You might as well pull right up and give the keys to the valet, because that's where we are.
Helps on the way.
Helps on the way. In where? In the starting pitching?
Well,
really? I mean, how about, and you know, I didn't want to do this, but since you've led me down this glorious path, an 800-919-3776, here, would you like Patrick Corbin? No, we don't want to go a sixth year with Patrick Corbin. You want Dallas Keuchel? $2 million more? That's a lot of, no, we don't, I mean, what are you doing? Bring in a starter, for God's sakes.
You want Justin Verlander 2 years ago? Nah, we're all set. We'll allow him to go to the Astros.
Yeah, but I'm not going to freak out about Verlander. But these last two guys, I mean, come on. Patrick Corbin should be a member of this team. Let's go to Jimmy in Staten Island. Jimmy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, what's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
What's up, Jim? How are you, man?
Leave it to the Staten Island guy to make you feel better.
You're going
to
make me feel better?
Yes. That's my Father's Day gift to you.
Really? Now, are you a dad, Jimmy?
No.
Not yet.
I'm a young man, but not yet. But check this out. A couple years, they're going to fire Brody.
Great. A couple years, they'll fire. So now I got to wait a couple years.
Okay. And then they're going to scout your son. He threw a no-hitter. He's going to be pitching for the Mets. You'll be all right. You'll get the World Series.
They should bring him in the eighth inning at this point.
he'll be the closer for the Mets.
Honestly, thanks for the call, Jimmy. A little bit better. Made me feel a little bit better. They should trot him out. He's I mean, he stands about 5 feet. You know, trot him in. He doesn't weigh a lot. I think he weighs like 84 pounds or something. Trot him out from the bullpen. He pitches from the set. He'll hold runners close. And I don't know if he pitches hard enough for the balls to go flying out of the park yet. So it might be an upgrade over what they have with one Jairus Familia at this point. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've beat up on the Mets enough, deservedly so. Maybe we'll go back there. Phone lines are open if you'd like to, 800-919-3776. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into the NBA. We're going to get into your philosophy on where we are with the Knicks. If you feel remotely confident, if you sit here feeling sick to your stomach, free agency. Sounds like Kyrie is going to go to Brooklyn. Don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi, Kevin Durant. Do you or don't you? So let's line up the NBA calls, 800-919-3776. Take a deep breath. Focus on the NBA. Look in your rearview mirror and see the Mets. It's time to move past the New York Metropolitan. It's sunny. It's clear. It's crisp. You feel honestly, you feel like you're hours outside of New York City. Hours and hours outside of New York City, and you're like an hour from Manhattan. It's great. All right. 98.7 ESPN U.S. Open Golf Update is brought to you by Rally Motor Company, Long Island's premier automotive group of Acura, BMW, Lexus, and Mercedes-Benz vehicles. Find your next luxury vehicle at rally.com. Where are we in the U.S. Open Championship at Pebble Beach, California? It's a great question, and here's your answer. Gary Woodland is 9 under, shot a 65 round 2 yesterday, 68 opening round. Justin Rose is 7 under, just 2 shots back. Oosthuizen is 3 back. McIlroy and Wise are 4 back. Kuchar, Hadley, Reavie, Koepka, Wallace are 5 back. And a cavalcade of golfers, that means a lot, are 3 under, 6 back, led by Sergio Garcia, Zach Johnson, Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott, John Rahm. And we leave it at that. There's a couple more, but I gave you the big, big names there. 800-919-3776. I feel like it's been a very emotional show. Ty's been verbally berated, and rightfully so. I'm very distraught over what the Mets have become. I'm very concerned about this free agency period right now with the Knicks. And I think a lot of people are – I think it's uneasy. I think summer is starting, beautiful weather – and I think people are very uneasy, and I understand why. 800-919-3776. Marcus in Union is next up on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, I'm a big fan of your show. I wanted to get your opinion on what the Nets should do, whether we should go after Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris.
The Nets?
If we even get Kyrie Irving.
You said the Nets, right?
The Nets.
Yeah, I mean, look, it sounds like Kyrie, it sounds like that's on the verge of being done. I spoke to somebody, not that I spoke to somebody, the belief is that that's going to happen. So along with Kyrie, I mean, if you can add a Tobias Harris there, you're the Nets with the talent that you already have, you've made great strides this offseason. Right? I mean, if you add, Jimmy Butler,
what,
yes.
What about Jimmy Butler?
I like Jimmy Butler in that situation. I mean, Butler, see, here's the thing. Butler as the number one guy petrifies me. Like, Butler on the Knicks terrifies me. But Butler on a team that's not far off, I mean, the Nets went to the postseason last year. The Nets are a team that, again, Philly was clearly better, but they gave Philly a little run for their money. If you add Kyrie and Jimmy Butler, or Kyrie and Tobias Harris, you're a team that absolutely can make some noise in the postseason this year.
And do you still think we keep Russell if we add Kyrie?
I don't think that they're going to keep D'Angelo Russell, no. I mean, I don't understand why you would. You're upgrading a point guard. Why would you keep another point guard who's not as good and is going to cost you a fortune of money?
Yep, I agree. Right. I just hope that we get Tobias.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, thanks for the call, Marcus. He's a Long Island kid, so you got that going for you. We will find out in 2 weeks. But the Nets, see, the thing with the Knicks are bad. Right? I mean, the Knicks are a bad team. So someone's just going to have to take a leap of faith to come here with the Knicks. Like we thought, like a Kevin Durant. The Nets they were a playoff team last year. They were the sixth seed last year, right? The Nets are, and you talk about the trajectory of where they are, it is clearly pointed up. When you look at their coach and their GM and the talent on that team and how it really appears that they are very, very functional, If you add two, and again, if you're the Nets and you add Kyrie and Butler, Kyrie and Harris, that's fine. If you're the Knicks and you add Kyrie and Harris, you're still nowhere near anything. But the Nets without Kyrie and Harris or Kyrie and Butler were a playoff caliber team last year. The Knicks won 17 games. Jimmy Rockland. Jimmy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave. Most importantly, congratulations to your son mowing those guys down yesterday. It must have been great being a proud dad, which you are every day. I thought that was awesome. I remember.
It really was. Jimmy, in all sincerity, it was awesome. And I got to be honest with you. I didn't even realize he threw a no-hitter until I got home and looked at the box score. I was like, wait a second. Nobody even touched him at all? No one. No, and I don't even – there was one fly ball to, like, shallow center. Otherwise, the ball wasn't even really hit out of the infield.
No, that's great. That's awesome. I got to be honest with you, Dave, because you're always honest with me. I got to defend Ty a little bit here. I mean, I enjoy a little good banter between you and him, and I think he brings a lot of valid points, and he makes a good perspective.
So you're a fan of Ty. You like his always getting in my way and his uppityness and the way he's very aggressive towards me. You're fine with that.
Dave, I didn't say I'm always fine with it, but once in a while I think it's good. I mean, I just think he brings stuff. Dave, I love you. You're my favorite. You know that. I just think Ty at times, hey, he's a young guy, and I just think it's good. I just want to change gears here and talk about the Knicks, more importantly.
Yes, much more importantly.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, we got to get this right. We got to get this right.
What's right? Jimmy, what's right? That's the question right now. What is right?
Dave, that's why I'm asking you. I go, Dave, I understand we're coming off a terrible, terrible, terrible season, and it just never seems to end. And Dave, you said it. Who's going to really want to come here? The management is so lacking in stability. I mean, at times it's like, wait a minute, this is just unheard of, that it never ends.
Like I said earlier, Jimmy, you need someone to take the leap of faith. You need a Kevin Durant. I mean, maybe it's ruptured Achilles Kevin Durant, right, that says, I understand I'm going to miss a year, but I still look at that as my ultimate destination, and that's where I want to wind up. And maybe Kevin Durant on July 1 puts pen to paper and says, I'm going to sign a 4-year max deal, I'll play for 3, and we're going to be very relevant by my second and third year there with the Knicks. I mean, otherwise, I don't know. Unless some magical elixir of Kawhi Leonard comes here, Jimmy, I don't have the answer for you.
Neither do I, Dave. It's just very perplexing, but once again, you're great. I love your dialogue. You tell it like it is. You're a passionate fan. I go, and you know, I know how it is. You know, like I said, you with the Giants is like me with the Jets. I go, Dave, we have more dysfunctional teams in New York than it's just between the Knicks. Well, at least the Nets showed a little bit of
The Nets. The Nets are functional. I think the Rangers are functional. It seems like the Devils are functional. The Islanders now with Lamoriello are. I mean, our hockey seems to be in good standing. Our basketball. We'll see about the Knicks. The Nets are good. Our football, I think there's question marks with both. And our baseball, I think one is very functional and one is completely dysfunctional.
Yeah. No, Dave, I appreciate it. Once again, enjoy the day. I love listening to your show, and I'll speak to you soon. Have a good day.
I appreciate it, Jimmy. And have a great weekend and a great Father's Day. And that's what this weekend is all about, is spending time with your dad and celebrating dad and other dads. And we get one day, right? And let's make it work out tomorrow for all the dads out there. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Eddie in Staten Island. Eddie, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Dave.
What's up, Eddie? How are you?
I'm doing all right. We just got to get Kevin Durant. Go get Barrett. We're going to tank again. Oh, we're not even going to tank. We're just going to get another draft pick. When Kevin Durant's first year, if he plays with the Knicks, is almost like a redshirt year again, because he's going to miss a lot of back-to-back. We're not going to be expected to win. We're not going to know what he's going to look like.
Well, Eddie, you don't know that. You don't know what's along with him. I mean, you're assuming you're going to have R.J. Barrett for one full year. Maybe he's a star player. Maybe he's the guy.
No. I'm going low end right now. I'm just saying what you do. Kevin Durant, and that's it. Don't give anybody else no money.
Oh, that's fine. I think I agree with that. I feel like you're right. I feel like let's get Kevin Durant. Maybe you absorb an expiring contract. Maybe you get a draft pick because someone is willing to want to unload a player that expires, and you can absorb that, and you have another good draft next year, or hopefully one this year, and then another good one next year. Then you have Durant, then you make another move or two, and then all of a sudden you're a very relevant basketball team.
And if his second, in the third year of his second year of him playing,
we should look to be very competitive.
Oh, I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, I would hope so, Eddie. That's 3 years down the road.
But if it doesn't happen, this young talent doesn't develop, you still have a bunch of young players you can go then try to get somebody else. Giannis is going to be up in a couple of years, too. If Milwaukee can't get over the hump, what then?
I understand, but I can't start thinking about Giannis now at this point. I mean, we've done this with Kevin Durant. We've done this with Kevin Durant and all the eggs in the Durant basket, and now he's lying in a hospital bed recovering. So I can't think about doing this with another guy, and maybe it will. Maybe Giannis will become so, you know, disenfranchised with Milwaukee and want out and go to a new place, and maybe that new place is New York. But I can't play that game again. Can I get through this free agency and draft, please?
I agree with you. I'm just saying, at this point in time, I told my brother this year, I said, you know what, for the first time as a Knicks fan, and I'm 40 years old, first time as a Knicks fan since I'm 8 years old, this year was a walk year. They couldn't suck. Like, every year, every game that they won, that they lost was like a win for me. I'm like, oh, we're on a winning streak, and we're on a 10-game losing streak. We're winning. This is what we're supposed to do at this point in time. That's what we're supposed to do.
They did what they were supposed to do this year. They got the third pick in the draft. I love R.J. Barrett. I think he's going to be a big-time NBA player, and thanks to the call, Eddie. I like the direction they're headed in right now. But I had this belief that you were going to hit a home run in free agency this offseason, and it, even if you land Kevin Durant, it's hard to envision that you're going to be a playoff-caliber team next year. Unless you get Kawhi, how is that possible that you're going to go anywhere near the postseason next year? So it's going to be another year of wait till next year with the Knicks, which, I'm sorry, is really, really upsetting and really, really frustrating.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Bringing the tallest golfer here at Crystal Springs, the wonderful and talented, and my partner, Chris Canty. What's up, Chris?
Nothing much, Dave. Was out there on the golf course today, and it beat me up a little bit, but I'll tell you what, it's hard to have a bad time out here. The weather is absolutely perfect. The courses are in excellent condition, so even though my swing's not in good shape, I had a great time.
Yeah, it really is sensational out here. It's funny. You really feel, because I'm in, you know, Westchester. We're in Manhattan every day. You really feel like you're way out of the city.
Yeah, but it's not that far away.
No, that's the point. You're 45 minutes from the city, but you feel like you're in the middle America.
It's a world away, and this is the place that you come if you want to just have a quick getaway and change of pace and break up the monotony. This is the perfect place. I mean, they got everything. They got the pool. They got an awesome bar. The food is outstanding, so if you haven't been out here to Crystal Springs Resort, you absolutely have to pay this place a visit.
Yeah, and we got the beer and food festival that you're going to be at starting it from 3 to 4 today. People can come out and meet you here in Hamburg, New Jersey. So,
and you know, I got to sample everything they got down there.
Well, today. I think that would go with
food.
That reason.
No
of
question
course,
about
but
it.
That's part of the contract you signed.
Exactly.
That in order for me to attend the food festival, I have to have unlimited samples.
Yeah, I can't promote it in good conscience unless I taste test the food and I can vouch for it. So,
now, you were here last night. You and Rick were both here. You played 9, and then you went to the bar a little bit. You hung around with some listeners who you said were really great. Were you able to avoid the Mets catastrophe, or did you happen to see how the Mets soiled themselves last night?
No, I didn't have a chance to actually watch the game, but I checked out the highlights, the recap, and of course, you know, leave it to the Mets to only have one game on the schedule and lose twice. But that's exactly what you guys did yesterday. It just seems like you like losing to the Cards 5-4,
that's
so
terrible.
It is what it is.
It's terrible. I mean,
the Diaz trade. I mean,
he's terrible.
He's awful.
I mean, and you watch him, you're like, boy, he's got good stuff. But every big moment that he has, he's awful. He saved 57 games last year. He can't get out of his own way this year.
No, and it just makes the Cano trade look that much worse. I mean, Cano has been a non-factor. You thought at least you could get his bat in your lineup as a contribution, but he hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't stayed healthy. And then on top of it, he's a liability at second. And now you look at what Diaz is doing. I mean, the one guy that you thought you could rely on in your bullpen sure doesn't feel like you can rely on him now. So,
I mean,
if you're going to grade Brody Van Wagenen based on what we've seen from that trade,
F.
you have to give him an F.
Brody Van Wagenen as a whole this offseason gets an F.
Yes.
Because think of, I mean, Ramos, who is not bad, but he's not great. That's the best of the lot. You haven't seen Jed Lowry. Cano's been awful. Diaz has not been good. Familia is, don't even get me started on Familia, who again last night did what he does. I mean, this offseason, Chris, was terrible from Brody.
It was a disaster, and he could have went a lot of different ways with this offseason. I mean, you talk about going out there and making the trade to bring back Cano. You took on his salary because you thought you were getting one of the best closers in baseball, but you could have committed the same resources to that you gave to Familia to Ottavino, and you could have paid Zach Britton just money rather than having to take on a bad contract like Cano. So there were other moves to be made, and Brody Van Wagenen didn't take advantage of them. And then on top of that, he starts the season by setting the expectation that we're the team to beat in the NL East. Clearly, that's not where the Mets are right now.
You're 7.5 games back.
Yeah.
You're hemorrhaging. Familia in a big spot cannot happen.
No.
Diaz is not good. Your bullpen stinks. Your starting staff hasn't lived up to what we thought it would be. This has been an utter disappointment for this team this year.
The positive that you would point to from this season, Brody Van Wagenen had nothing to do
Alonso?
With
Alonso?
Yep.
McNeil?
Yep.
Conforto?
Of course, yeah.
The pitchers, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're still excited about Syndergaard and DeGrom and Matz and Wheeler occasionally.
But tell me where Brody Van Wagenen
had
nothing.
Everything that his fingerprints are on was awful.
Exactly. So, I mean, but that's what you get. You wanted an outside-of-the-box hire. You went out and you got the guy that was the head of CAA baseball, and you decided that you're going to let him run your organization. You're going to let him undermine the authority of your manager that you have in place, second-year guy Mickey Callaway. The players can just go straight to the general manager. They don't have to respect the head coach.
It's like the Jets.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you couldn't script a soap opera that would be any worse than what the Mets are in 2019.
So I've gotten to the point. I made the announcement on the air today. I will watch, and I hope they win, but I'm not getting myself crazy anymore.
You say that, Dave.
I'm
That's not
doing
gonna
it
happen.
Anymore.
You're going to do it, Dave.
It's not good for my well-being, Chris. I mean, being a Mets fan, you don't have any idea what this is like.
I don't have any idea what it's like.
It's not
like,
Yankees
it's not
exactly
like I feel great about
baseball.
My team either right now.
No, nor should you, but yeah. You're 14 games over. You know you're going to go to the postseason.
Yes.
I mean, you have concerns, but not Mets-like concerns.
No, we don't have Mets-like concerns because I know Brian Cashman has the resources and the foresight to fix the issues that this team has and get it ready for October. Like, I know that at some point he's going to address starting pitching. I don't know how the hell the Mets are going to get better with their bullpen.
They're not.
I don't.
They're not. You're 7.5 games back. You're 5.5 games back of a wild card.
You're going to – I mean, you're still tied to Todd – I mean, Todd Frazier, this is the last year of his deal.
Right.
But you're still tied to Jed Lowry. You still got Robbie Cano. I mean, those guys aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, Robbie Cano for years.
For years.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are going to be there. Wilson Ramos for another year. So, I mean, I don't know how you guys get better. It's not like your farm system is flush with talent, so you can't mortgage young players to bring back players that can help you now.
And the problem is, I don't think that they're going to admit that they made a mistake. I mean, we're halfway into his first season. I don't think Brody is now, and he's certainly not the guy you want to architect the rebuild. That would have been Chaim Bloom. It wouldn't have been Brody Van Wagenen.
No, it would have been Chaim Bloom, and because Brody Van Wagenen made the decisions that he made this offseason, you got to think that he's going to try to see it through and at least see what this team is capable of doing next year before deciding to tear it down. The only problem is, Zach Wheeler is a free agent. This is not going to be a team that's competing for a postseason spot this year. You got to get something for Zach Wheeler. So, I mean, by trading him off before the deadline, I mean, that would be an admission that this team in 2019 is not capable of going to the postseason. But I think that's the reality that the Mets are in.
Admit it. Move forward admitting this year's not going to happen. And maybe if you make the right trades and you trade Wheeler and you trade Dom Smith and you bring back some decent pieces, maybe you'd be a somewhat competitive team next year.
Well, Dave, you're the Mets fan. And I know this is taboo to even bring this up, but would you consider moving Syndergaard? He would be the asset that would bring back the most pieces.
I guess at this point I would.
Yeah.
I guess at this point I would because what am I – I mean, if I could get real pieces in return, then – yeah, I think I absolutely would consider Syndergaard. And you know it's not something I wanted to do this past offseason, but at this point, I mean, you're hanging on to him for what? First of all, he hasn't been great by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he still has real value on the open market.
He's got two more years of team control.
Right, he's still very, very attractive contract-wise.
Maybe we can slide that Robbie Cano contract with Syndergaard. Maybe we can put that in
there. Pathetic would it be if you bring in Cano, you absorb that money, and within a couple of months, you're attaching him to another guy to move on from? Sad.
Well, it's sad, but I mean, I think you're a better team. If you get rid of him, he's not going to be in the lineup at second base. You can let Jeff McNeil play there. He's not as much of a liability defensively, and you need his bat in the lineup every single day.
I agree.
It just makes the most sense.
It's been a disaster. I think you should go in the pool.
No, I don't have any pool attire, Dave.
Oh, you
I don't have any trunks.
But the pool is lovely, and I'm sitting here watching it for hour and hour and hours, and I'd like somebody that I know to partake in the pool.
Okay. You sure you're keeping your eye on the pool?
Things floating around the pool. Looking at it a little bit, but for the most part, the waterfall cascading from the pool is...
So you got your sunglasses to hide your eyes. I got you.
Very, very,
very strategic of you, Dave.
Well, you know me. All right, that, of course, is Chris Canty. He's here. We're both here, Hamburg, New Jersey, Crystal Springs. He's going to hang around until 4 o'clock at the Big Beer and Food Festival. I will catch up with you 9:55 on Monday morning, my friend.
My man.
All right.
Listen, don't take the Mets losses too hard,
You know how it is. All right, that, of course, is the great Chris Canty. Now it's time to play a little Bash for Cash. Mark in Massapequa is our winner. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave. Great to hear from you and Chris there, too.
That's right. Well, Chris says hi. He's waving as he quickly walks away from the set. All right, where are you going to go here?
All right, we're going to go Pete Alonso in the first.
It's locked in. I hope you win. More than anything, I hope you win.
I really hope we see that. It's got to win, too, but I'll take just the money,
here's
too.
My question here's my question for you. No home run for Alonso, but the Mets win. Home run from Alonso in the fifth, Mets lose. That's
the question. Oh, man, that's so... Oh, man. I'll take the Mets win, even though I heard you earlier with the other guy this morning how, I mean, the Mets do this to us for years. but
you're a good man. You're a true Mets fan, and I appreciate it. Congratulations. And I hope it all happens for you tonight. And thanks for the call. I hope that Alonso hits a home run in the first, and the Mets win this game.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.